Our topic today is captioned The Marriage Garden. Genesis 2, 8 and 15 says, "The Lord God planted a garden, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Marriage is like a garden. It blossoms when well taken care of. Husband and wife should have a gardener's mentality towards their marriage. A well-nurtured garden, among other things, signifies beauty, pleasure, abundance, fruitfulness, fulfillment, and the list goes on. The man of God, Billy Graham, said, and I quote, "Gardens don't grow by themselves. They need to be tended, cultivated, and weeded." The same is true of marriage. I believe this is very true. Every garden requires time, attention, skill, and care to grow and to thrive. I personally like gardens. Wherever I live, I make sure that we have gardens around us. To enjoy your marriage garden, consider these three P's that I want to share with you today. The first P is prepare. 2 Chronicles 27:6 says, "So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God." To prepare means to make ready beforehand for a specific purpose, to plan in advance. In agriculture, the first step to planting is tilling the soil before sowing the seed. So, before you venture into marriage, you must plan and prepare adequately for the kind of marriage you want. Preparation for a successful marriage should start way before you meet your intended spouse. Singles, hear me and hear me very well. My question to you right now is, how well are you preparing for your future marriage? The truth is, when you fail to prepare, you have actually prepared to fail. My prayer for you, every single, under the sound of my voice right now, maritally, you shall not fail. Even before I was ready for marriage, God, by His grace, enabled me to prepare by spending adequate time in prayer, asking Him for guidance towards His choice and perfect will for my life. I happened to give my life to Jesus Christ as a teenager, and that has helped me a great deal. Therefore, don't wait until you are ready for marriage before you start to prepare. Proverbs 21:31 says, "A horse is prepared for the day of battle." So singles, choose your relationship wisely. But how do I prepare, you may ask? By deliberately making investment into your life in all areas. Spiritually, make sure you gain spiritual strength and stamina by establishing a strong relationship with God through quality word study, prayers, engaging the Holy Spirit, and engaging in kingdom advancement endeavors. Have a culture of reading the Word of God and studying your Bible on a daily basis. Ever before I started getting ready for marriage, God helped me to make a decision in my life that no physical food will ever get into my mouth until I have taken my spiritual meal, which is from the Bible. With the Holy Ghost, in case you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, singles, and even if you are married, this is the time for you to do so. Because there is no way your prayer life can be effective without the help of the Holy Spirit. So ensure you are prepared spiritually. Physically, have a life focus. You must have a career, have a goal. Build character, build integrity. Let your life be a living proof that salvation is real and that Jesus changes the lives of people. Someone has said, and I believe this is very true, that secrets and lies kills relationships. No matter how careful you are, you will get caught one day. So live a life of integrity Elijah speaks. Prepare mentally. Gather knowledge. Knowledge is power. You have heard it said. Proverbs 24:5 tells us, a man of knowledge increases strength. So educate yourself on the subject of marriage. Read books that will help you. Study the life of proven individuals. Attend marriage seminars. And the list goes on. Have the right mindset. Have a good understanding of God's purpose for marriage. Learn the necessary skills required in marriage. As you do so, you are getting yourself prepared. Prepare financially. Make sure you are gainfully employed. Have a career or have a business. You must have an income. Because if you cannot take care of yourself financially, how would you take care of your spouse in marriage? Then prepare emotionally. You need emotional stability. Some marriages have failed because one or both parties can't put their emotions under check. This is very crucial. Put that anger under control. That covetousness must leave your life. You must ensure that you grow yourself emotionally. And very importantly, singles, don't put all your focus on getting married. Rather, get busy serving the interests of the kingdom of God. This will add value to you even before the people around you. Adequate preparation for marriage will definitely enhance your work in all areas of life. And then number two, plant. The second P is plant. Genesis 2:8, the Lord God planted a garden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. At the God ordained time, you and your spouse will begin the journey of marriage. The moment you say, yes, I do, and exchange vows on your wedding day, your home and your marriage is planted. To plant means to cultivate, to put or set in the ground for growth. I pray for everyone that you under the sound of my voice that your marriage will grow. Your marriage will not die. And in case you are going through some challenges in your marriage right now, I speak peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Be mindful of the vows you make, because words are powerful and they manifest when spoken. And of course, the place you conduct your wedding also is very important. Singles, hear me very well. Make sure you get married in church. It doesn't matter what people say. Remember, God is the one who chooses where to meet with you. And in church, you have a cloud of witnesses with the host of heaven in attendance. Invite God in your marriage by forming the threefold cord that cannot be broken. Let me advise you, don't turn your wedding into a social project where people are donating and contributing money all over the place for its success. I tell people every time I have the opportunity, how expensive a wedding ceremony is has nothing to do with the success of that marriage. Don't give people room to dictate how your wedding should be because they want to sponsor it. That will be a wrong way to start. My husband usually says, I married by myself, so she is my wife, not a community wife. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that your testimony shall be better. And don't jump protocols. Make sure you attend to all formalities, from counseling to dowry payment, registry, and church wedding. Whatever is supposed to be done in the place of worship where you attend, make sure you do it right. These are the things that we did before we got married. And to the glory of God today, all our biological children are also married. We made sure that none of them was allowed to jump protocols. But listen, whatever gift is presented for the dowry, ensure they are precious and things that glorify God. After the wedding, now it's time for you to put to work the biblical principles to a successful family life that you have gathered during your preparatory time. The Bible, the Word of God, should be the foundation and pillar of your home. And there, principally, your husband, you are to love your wife as Christ loves the church, unconditionally. And wife, you are to submit to your own husband in all things. not just in some things, but in all things. Remember, what you put in your marriage determines what you get out of it. Before we got married, to the glory of God, my husband discovered 7 keys to a hitch-free marriage. He had to ensure we were on the same page. These keys have been shared and documented in some of my books on marriage. And these keys are the keys that are helping us today in our own marriage and many others. Your own testimony shall be brighter in Jesus' name. Therefore, let your marriage be built on the right foundation of friendship, love, mutual respect, and commitment to one another. The third P is prune. A garden cannot flourish without constant pruning and nurturing. When you don't prune your marriage, all manner of weeds can choke and even destroy it. Pruning is a daily, conscious, deliberate, and committed work. And husband and wife must be involved in this. To prune your marriage garden, 2 things you have to do. 1, dress it. 2, keep it. And this is for both husband and wife. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to dress one and to keep it. To dress and keep your marriage garden, let me give you some healthy tips. To your husband, take note of these 2 primary things. Number 1 is affection. Pursue your wife with affection. Affection in thoughts, in words, and in action. Show affection to your wife. Tell her words such as, I love you because, and then you can add the words. I love you because, for example, you have made it easy for me to serve God. I love you because you are prudent in spending. I love you because you are the mother of my children. I love you because, and you can add, the list goes on and on. Love your spouse more than anyone else, including your own children. There are some spouses, they love their children more than their spouse, and this is not scriptural. Husbands, let me ask you, when last did you tell your wife that you love her? Every husband listening to me right now, make sure you do that today before this day runs out. Even if you did it already, tell her again. I can tell you, as women, we love to hear our husbands tell us how much they love us. How about that affectionate touch? Your wife is doing some dishes. Why can't you go behind her softly? Hold her to yourself. Give her that touch. Have her compliments. Tell her she has made a good food. Comment, that meal was nice. Make sure you do that today, every husband listening. And number 2 tip for you, husband, is the act of kindness. Remember, women are multipliers. If you show her kindness today, the meal she will cook for you next will be better than the one she made last. If you are angry with your spouse, then this is a sign that you need to sit back and spend some good quality time together. This is very crucial. And to your wife, number 1, pursue your husband with words of affirmation. Do this privately and do it publicly. Tell him how much you appreciate him. I have said this over and again publicly concerning my husband, that if there is yet another world where people marry, I will still look for him to marry. I've said this over and again. If people have a choice in heaven where their mansion should be built, I would ask God to make my mansion to be the same with him. Words of affirmation. This helps men a great deal to go on and do their best. Wives, stop pointing accusing finger at your husband. When you think of something good, just go ahead and do it. Don't keep contemplating. Wife, number 2 thing, the word is respect. Learn to respect your husband in thoughts, words, and actions. For me, as an example, if I'm on the phone with anyone and my husband walks in, that conversation ends there on the spot. not because I'm hiding anything from him. It's a sign of respect. If I'm sitting in my office or doing anything and my husband walks in, I stand up. Not because he told me to. It's my sign of respect for him. How do you respect your husband? So women, if you hear them treat their husband or look at their husband from head to toe, you feel sorry for the man. Please hear me well. Never let the inadequacies of your spouse distract you from doing what is right. We are told in scriptures about Abraham and Sarah. They had a good time, had good conversation together, I believe. And we are told that Sarah respected him so much that she was calling him Lord. This is crucial. Finally, this is very important. Husband and wife, beware of sexual denial. Don't starve your spouse sexually in marriage, because that can lead to a great deal of problem in your marriage. We are told about Isaac and Rebecca in the Bible. Even though they had an arranged marriage, they had a great time and they were able to have intimacy in their marriage. No wonder that name still rings a bell till today. Your marriage shall not be starved in Jesus' name. In conclusion, to dress and keep your marriage garden, whatever you did in the early days of your relationship before you got married, do it again and go beyond it. As you do so, you will discover that your marriage garden will keep getting better and flourishing in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for every single today that you will not make a mistake in the choice of your married partner. For anyone that is married and going through tension and trouble, I decree peace for you today in Jesus' name. And I ask that the peace of God and the wisdom of God to keep making your marriage what God has ordained to be will be released upon your life in Jesus' name. As I close, every listener, are you born again? If you are not, say this prayer after me. Oh God, today I come to you. I'm a sinner. Jesus, save me. From today, I am born again and I am your child. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you say that prayer from your heart, I congratulate you. You are now born again. Now go to the website address at the bottom of the screen and fill that form now and send your testimonies through the same medium and connect with the social media handles at the bottom of your screen. And always remember, God is too faithful to fail. See you. Bye.